SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We welcome you to Football Full Circle live on this Tuesday all around the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. And Scott, when we spoke to everybody yesterday here on FFC, a lot happened after our Monday edition was done. Of course, recapping championship weekend, taking an early look at Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. But only two teams left standing in the chase for that Lombardi Trophy, and the game still 12 days away, which gives us a lot of time to talk about the 30 other NFL organizations now into the offseason, focused on the future, and specifically, Scott, the four introductory press conferences that we had around the NFL yesterday for the four new head coaches in four different spots. Brian Schottenheimer, with a lot to be said, not so much by him, but the Jones family, yesterday afternoon at the Star in Dallas. Aaron Glenn trying to fire up the crowd in New York, now the head man of the Jets. Liam Cohen in Duval County in Jacksonville, and a familiar face back in the National Football League in a different spot. Pete Carroll, of course, with the Las Vegas Raiders. Scott, really, in this hour, we'll break down what was said yesterday, our reactions to it all, and what it means for these franchises moving forward.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Ben, I think I'm like going contrarian here in that I actually think the good hires were bad, and I think the bad hires were actually pretty good. I actually like the Brian Schottenheimer, I don't know any Dallas Cowboy fan or any football fan that think they're making this guy out to be the biggest buffoon in the world, right? Are we forgetting that his father was one of the most successful head coaches in NFL history, albeit failed in the postseason, which is kind of what Dallas has been doing over the last few years. But that said, I mean, it's not like this guy is out of the blue. So it'll be interesting. You know, it's the same rhetoric with the New York Jets, you know, that they win the press conferences, but they can't win on the field. A couple of quirky little things with the Jets that we can kind of break down as well in the press conference yesterday. But I like some of the moves, and I don't like some of the others. So we'll talk about it over the next hour.
Scott, very excited to get your reactions to everything that we heard and saw from yesterday and what it means in these head coaching roles. Of course, when you are dubbed America's team, you start in Dallas, a theatrical introductory press conference for the Cowboys, for Brian Schottenheimer himself, his first head coaching role after nearly 2.5 decades as an assistant of some sort in the National Football League the previous 3 years in Dallas. But a lot said from Jerry Jones and his son, Steven Jones, about the outlook of this organization. Scott, there was a very long answer from Jerry Jones that really got this started yesterday. Simple question: why did you end up hiring Brian Schottenheimer? That led to Jerry Jones really kind of saying, you don't understand my pedigree. I have wanted to be a head coach. Here is why I have done all the things that I have done. You don't consider this a risk. It's the biggest risk of my career to hire a first-time head coach, and even got emotional in that answer. Scott, what did you make of the introductory press conference in Dallas?
Yeah, now listen, it's a little weird, right? I mean, again, I'm in favor of the hire, but I wish they would have just said, take control of the situation. You know, and how you do that by don't opening up the Pandora's box to speculation on whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. Really, and you knew you were going to be asked these questions, right? So I would have liked Jerry and everyone within that organization to really come forward. He's our guy. He's been with us for a long time. You know, we wanted to have someone work with Dak Prescott. Prescott likes him. We've had success. He's been part of that success on offense in the regular season. You know, really kind of take control and silence the critics. And they really didn't do that yesterday. They just kind of you know, allow the critics to have their say and have the speculation about whether this is a good hire or not a good hire. I wish they would have had a little bit more control of it.
Yes, I would agree, Scott. Again, as we kind of discussed yesterday on the show, as I have shared across a variety of programs on the Sports Grid Network in the last 24 hours plus, I actually root for Brian Schottenheimer. I hope he does very well. I still do not believe this coaching search in Dallas was conducted in the correct manner, and I still have a ton of questions about Jerry Jones and his son, Stephen Jones, leading in that front office positions. And Scott, again, when they were speaking yesterday, and Jerry Jones trying to, I think, be defensive and debunk the idea that this was a comfortable hire, or he hired somebody to be yet another puppet man and to say yes to everything that he desires with the Cowboys, to do so in his explanation by calling it the greatest risk of his career to hire a head coach with zero head coaching experience, you are almost working against yourself in what you are saying. That was the Jerry Jones component. And there was Stephen Jones when asked about how they evaluate success within the organization, in saying, we self-evaluate, we look at what we have done well, what we have done poorly, and the so-called, as he said, in air quotes, drought the Cowboys have seen in the last 30 years from winning a conference championship or, of course, a Lombardi trophy. That answer, above all else, Scott, really rubbed people the wrong way associated with the Star yesterday. They were not pleased with the idea that Stephen Jones was sitting there and almost mocking 29 consecutive years of not reaching the NFC Championship game since the last Super Bowl win for Dallas in 1995.
Yeah, and that ultimately is the problem, right? You picture a pyramid, and what's at the very, very top, and everything else supports it. Well, at the very, very top is Dallas thinks they've been successful for 30 years, whereas the American public realizes they haven't been when you compare it to Super Bowls. But if they think they've been successful, well, then why change things? You know, and you think about it, you know, in all his years of owning the Cowboys, right? He got rid of Tom Landry. Okay, so we're not going to count that. He hires Jimmy Johnson, powerful man. That doesn't work out, you know, because they can't get along, even though he was his best buddy. He hires Bill Parcells. But other than that, you go back to Barry Switzer or Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy, who was desperate for a job. He's always hired guys, Ben, that he could control. So if he thinks that's been successful, why would this hire be any different? I'm more amazed at the Cowboy fan who was called for McCarthy to get fired that they're so surprised that he went down this road again. Well, what else would you expect?
True, but you're hoping that they do so in the best essence of your organization. You're hoping that Jerry Jones has maybe learned that what has happened over the last three decades since that last Super Bowl championship in 1995, control or not, big name or not, loyalty or not, has not resulted in your level of success. I would find it hard to believe, Scott, for a franchise that won three Super Bowls in a four-year stretch in the early 90s, would consider what they have seen now in the last 30 seasons, 29 to be exact, anywhere close to how they would judge a successful winning season in Dallas. Because the expectation... Go ahead.
But I will tell you, has it been a failure for Jerry Jones? For the fans who won Super Bowls, yes. But Jerry Jones moved out of an old stadium. He's got a multi-billion-dollar stadium. He's got a multi-billion-dollar team. He's got sellouts every single weekend. And he's still, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, he's America's team. You know, maybe outside of Patrick Mahomes now in Kansas City. But what's the number one team value-wise, attention-wise, and everything else? The Dallas Cowboys. So has it really been not successful for the businessman, Jerry Jones? No. He's looking back saying, listen, I'm still a top. Whether I have a winning record, a Super Bowl, or not, ultimately, my franchise is still on top of the world.
Sure, right? From a bottom-line perspective, from a revenue-generating perspective, there is no arguing that for Jerry Jones. And still, carries probably the most power among all the 32 NFL ownership groups individually, but you are sacrificing that at what we all care about in professional sports, and that's winning. And so if you are more worried about your revenue than championships, that is a very difficult thing to sell to your franchise's fan base, and has allowed the actual football product to become a laughingstock in the butt of many a joke around the NFL. We'll continue the conversation around Brian Schottenheimer and the Cowboys next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Busy day around the National Football League on a Monday. Four introductory press conferences in four different franchises with four new head coaches in those respective spots. Scott, it's a really interesting thing when you examine the Cowboys. In the introductory press conference for Brian Schottenheimer yesterday at the Star, much like the decision to hire Schottenheimer, I actually don't mind giving a coach who has been an offensive coordinator for 14 seasons and an assistant in the NFL for nearly 2.5 decades a shot. Why it hasn't happened yet at the head coaching level, I think does raise some flags, but still, you give him the opportunity. And I think when you heard from Brian Schottenheimer yesterday and how he hopes to approach this head coaching gig in Dallas, understanding the importance of relationships, speaking specifically to what he wants to do offensively with all the talent the Cowboys have on that side of the football, the fans should be optimistic by what Dallas can present. But then you hear Jerry Jones and Stephens Jones speak, and you think to yourself, is this the organization going to set up this head coach for the best pathway to success, which I guess has kind of been the dichotomy in Dallas the last 25 plus years.
Yeah, I tell you, the one guy I thought that they would have gotten, you know, went to the Raiders in you know, Pete Carroll. That kind of would have been more in line with what I think Dallas is versus what the Raiders are. But ultimately, I mean, this is old school. You know, I can't come on all the time and yell and scream about how these 36, 37-year-old offensive coordinators who've had 2 years of success, you know, get a head coaching job. And now, you know, start ripping a guy who's been in the league, you know, 14, 15 years and has paid his dues. I mean, this was old school. This is how it used to be. So I don't know who they thought was going to get this job, Ben, that, you know, it's not like Bill Belichick turned him down. You know, I don't know if he ever was offered the job or not, but there wasn't this big outside of Ben Johnson. That was the public's, you know, main guy, right? But outside of him, who did they think they were going to get this job that was going to get this job that didn't? That they're so disgusted with Schottenheimer. Like I said, to me, it makes sense. Now, who knows? Maybe he won't be successful. Maybe there's a reason why he hasn't been a head coach. But he's not 61. Hasn't been in the league 30 years. And all of a sudden is getting his first head coaching job. You're bringing in a guy. You want to bring in a guy that's worked with Dak Prescott, that's had success with Dak. I can't help but think they went to Dak and said, are you comfortable with this? You know, and I'm sure he gave the okay. So, I mean, it makes to me all the sense in the world on paper. Then you throw in, yeah, is he going to be, you know, receptive to having, you know, Jerry Jones come down every once in a while and you know, make his thoughts known? Yeah, okay. But that, again, that's a given. You're not going to lose that until he's, you know, 6 feet under. So I on paper, to me, it makes a whole lot of sense. And I've said this before. I don't care. I mean, I do care. But ultimately, you know, you can be the greatest offense and defensive coordinator in the world, but that doesn't make you a good head coach. The roles are completely different. So if the guy isn't as great an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator as you may think, that's okay. He may show leadership qualities behind the scenes that the average fan can't see and have people say, you know what, this guy's good. You know, this is how, you know, John Harbaugh got to be a head coach, right? I mean, he was a special teams guy. He didn't have to prove himself as a big-time coordinator. So, I'm okay with this hire. On paper, to me, it makes sense. And then ultimately, we'll see if he could take Dallas to that next step.
I think it tracks, certainly, based on what Jerry Jones has done now for more than 3 decades here in Dallas. Does it make a ton of sense? And I think that's part of the issue, Scott, with how this coaching search was conducted. They waited until the 11th hour to ultimately not agree to a new deal with Mike McCarthy. They missed out on an additional week where they could have interviewed the two hottest names in this cycle, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. Even if they were not going to bring either guy into Dallas, they started behind the eight ball. They then interview Brian Schottenheimer. They don't wait to even see if they would bring back a familiar face, who also would make some sense in Kellen Moore, and here they have arrived. Again, this is not to slander Brian Schottenheimer. He has not received his chance just yet to be a head coach. Hopefully he flourishes. He was not truly the play caller the last 2 years in Dallas. That was Mike McCarthy, but he has developed those relationships with Dak Prescott, and I think from a football perspective, said some good things yesterday. It's just everything else the Cowboys continue to deal with. And Scott, it is kind of that out of touch nature where they can say, see, we still are one of the biggest brands in sports. We still generate billions and billions of dollars of revenue, but then really throw it in the face of fans saying a championship drought, like it's some invented narrative and not 29 years of not even reaching the NFC championship game since the last Super Bowl at the Star. With the Commanders being led by a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels to the NFC championship game this season, the first for Washington since 1991, the Cowboys are the only team in the NFC of 16 as a whole on that side of the league to not play in the conference championship game since 2010. And Dallas adds 15 years on top of that.
Wow. That really is amazing, you know? And you have to throw in that Dallas has been pretty good. It's not like they've been awful. Yeah. And you just accept the fact, okay, they're not playing in a championship. But they've been actually been pretty good. I bet it's way more, you know, above 500 records in those years than below 500 records. So it really is a quirky thing about how they just can't get over the hump for whatever reason. Maybe it'll change. You know, maybe Schottenheimer's exactly what they need. I mean, who knows, right? But I will say this. Yeah. I think the success of Washington this season really kind of puts the impetus on Dallas just that much more. Really kind of irks the Cowboy fan that much more.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Washington was able to do something coming from absolute scratch 2 years ago to now do something that we haven't done in, you know, 25 years. So that just, you know, puts a little more salt into the wounds.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Scott. Do you think it will be a successful debut for Brian Schottenheimer next year? Because as you alluded to, Cowboys prior to this season had three consecutive years with at least 12 wins in the regular season, two of the three in NFC East divisional crown. They've had their opportunity to change the narrative. Do you think Brian Schottenheimer will present that in year number one?
Are they going to get to the NFC Championship game? I don't know about that. You know, and I say the same thing about Washington. You know, you got San Francisco that's going to be better. You got all these teams that are getting better and better. But I do think they're going to finish over 500 and make the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah, and Scott, they're going to be priced as such, even after a 7-win season with a rookie head coach. They're probably still going to have a win total of 9.5 at a minus money price to see the NFC playoffs. We'll head to New York next. The new leader of Gang Green, Aaron Glenn and the Jets.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. From Dallas to New York, in the introductory press conference of new Jets head coach and GM, Aaron Glenn being the new head coach, former Detroit defensive coordinator, former first-round pick by New York back in 1994, and Darren Moogie, the new general manager to lead that Jets front office. Aaron Glenn, Scott, often known as a motivator of people. If you have been coached by Aaron Glenn, everybody says you will feel his passion for the sport of football and as a people pleaser. He understands developing relationships in the National Football League, and he certainly did that yesterday, trying to build that enthusiasm and fervor in his introductory press conference, which is frankly what the Jets need, a little bit of a kick in the you-know-what, saying that if you're here right now, buckle up the seatbelt and get ready for the ride, because this is New York and the Jets are built for this. It rhymes with hit, which I'm sure you can figure out. Scott, did you start to buy into what Aaron Glenn was delivering yesterday at his introductory presser?
No. I got to tell you, no. A couple of things. This was my favorite out of the four yesterday. First off, Moogie, the GM, comes on. He talks about how the Jets are going to go back to the great tradition of winning. And I'm thinking to myself, hello, anybody home? Have Google New York Jets success and you won't get too many stories. I don't know where you came up with this great tradition, right? Then it talks about how it's in the greatest city in the world. Hello, I hate to break it to you, but you're not in New York City, all right? You're in East Rutherford, New Jersey. They may call it the New York Jets, but you play in New York, your offices are in, or you play in New Jersey, your offices are in New Jersey. You really have no ties to New York at all, except your name. That's two. And then he breaks down the game plan of the New York Jets. Oh, this great new philosophy no one's ever come up with. His philosophy says we're going to draft players, we're going to keep our players, we're going to develop our players, we're going to have discipline and strategic news and free agency, and we're going to have accountability. I mean, come on. You know, a high school coach gives you the same rhetoric when he's going for a job. Everybody has the draft. Everybody wants to have accountability. Everybody wants to develop players. There's nothing new there. It was the same old, same old. Said it with a lot of vigor, which is great, yeah. Which is better than, you know, just not being excited. I get all that. But and then the other thing, Ben, you know, there was a little talk, you know, for those in New York that you probably didn't hear about that in Jersey, but there was some concern about how Woody Johnson's kids were actually making decisions for the team. Right? Remember that?
Right.
So
yes.
Aaron Glenn, you know, he's, you know, thanking all the people that are around him, his family, and he mentions his kids who say, oh, my kids should be coaching as well because they know football as good as anyone. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you don't want to go down that road because the owner got criticized for maybe taking suggestions from his kids. So the whole thing, you know, if you want to nitpick, as I love to do, it was just, I don't know. Listen, I covered the Jets when Aaron Glenn was there. Great guy. Never any issues. But I never, Ben, thought, okay, there's a head coach in waiting. I didn't see it. And what I saw yesterday from the press conference, I must admit, I never saw in interviewing him for 8 years. He did have, but is that Dan Campbell running off on him that eventually is going to wear out? Or has he turned into a new person? He's got all this excitement and vigor. I don't know, but it's just, you know, it's the same old, same old. And you know, the Jets, instead of like, okay, here's our line of the sand, we're going forward, right? What they should have done yesterday is say, you know what, Aaron Rodgers, I know that's the first question you're going to ask me. We're done with him. All right. That's the old Jets. Sorry, Aaron. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. We're not paying you $35 million to be a mediocre quarterback. We are going forward, not going backwards. But they didn't. They left that door open for Rodgers to come back. And if that's the case, after watching him play this year, it's the same old Jets over and over again.
Scott, that was a main topic of conversation. And the next point I was going to bring up, the future of Aaron Rodgers now with Aaron Glenn as his head coach. Team owner Woody Johnson, of course, there yesterday as well. At times, he has been vocal for Aaron Rodgers, but also based on reports, wanted him benched. It's been a whirlwind, as it often is with the New York Jets. And he was pressed on that idea. Do you want your head coach and new GM to bring Aaron Rodgers back? And Woody Johnson said, I'm hands off. They make the football decisions. And then asked one more time, if Aaron Rodgers is, or if Aaron Glenn and Darren Moogie want to bring him back, would you welcome that? And he said, yes, of course. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. The idea, at the very least, Scott, is there that Aaron Rodgers could return. I'll have a little bit more on that on the other side for what Aaron Glenn specifically had to say on Aaron Rodgers. And if it makes sense for the New York Jets, what it might mean for the first season of the Aaron Glenn tenure. Of course, all of that and plenty more up next on Football Full Circle. So much coaching news, press conference sound bites to dive through next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. At the intro press conference for new Jets head coach Aaron Glenn, a ton of conversation about Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, still under contract, 41 years old. He is also deciding, that being Rodgers, his future in the NFL and if retirement is near. He has said he will not hold up the New York Jets and hold up his end of the bargain to make that clear very soon. If you take Aaron Rodgers at his word, that could be good timing for the Jets. But of course, Woody Johnson was asked about it. New GM Darren Moogie was asked about it. New Jets head coach Aaron Glenn was asked about it numerous times, Scott. And as he was asked about it after the actual press conference and meeting with the media scrum, he said, quote, this thing is not about Aaron Rodgers. This is about the roster, end quote. He was pressed even further about Aaron Rodgers. And he said, you're going to keep asking me the same question. I'm going to give you the same response every time. And basically said, you're not going to get me on this. You're not going to trip me up and get an answer that I am not prepared for. Ultimately, Scott, what should the Jets do? And secondly, what do you think the Jets will actually do with Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
I think I would say the same thing as what they should do and what they will do will be the same. I think ultimately they'll cut ties. I must say, you know, a couple of things. Yeah. It's not really the smartest thing, I don't think, to get into a fight with the media, your first press conference, your introductory press conference, right? I mean, you had to have known, Ben, that this was going to be asked. And then two, like, what was the selling point with Aaron Glenn? Right, I guarantee you that Mike Vrabel, when he was interviewed by the New England Patriots, went to the Patriot front office and said, yep, Drake May's our guy. I'm going to make a winner out of Drake May. He's this, he's that. We could do this with him, right? Right. And that's why, in part, he got the job. So when they asked Aaron Glenn, which I'm assuming they did, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers next year? What does he say? I don't know. You know, I mean, he's been in the division. He's been in the league. He's played when Rodgers has played. I mean, he's got to have some assessment of Aaron Rodgers' capability, right? If your New York Jets is your dream job and you're going to interview for that job, don't you do a little research on Aaron Rodgers that you could come up with an answer outside of, I don't know? It's just very weird yesterday. But ultimately, the guy's going to make $35 million. That's a lot of money. I don't take Aaron Rodgers for his word. I think that that's one of those things. And listen, I understand fully. I'm not criticizing him for this. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? First ballot Hall of Famer. Does a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback want to be told, we don't want you anymore? I don't think so. So I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to come out and say, yep, I want to play, I want to play, I want to play, and have no one say, we want you. I think him and his agent, are feeling, whether it's with the Jets or other teams, seeing if anyone would really be interested in signing him to be a starter. And if the answer is no, then you'll hear Aaron Rodgers say, yep, I'm done. If you find a team that wants him, I think he's going to play another year, especially the Jets. You're not walking away from $35 million. I don't care how rich he is, and he's rich. Don't get me wrong. But to walk away from $35 million, which is what he would make this year if they paid him the money that he's due, I don't believe it.
There would be that dead cap hit, of course, for New York to take on as their burden if Aaron Rodgers is released or at a point this offseason. Of course, Aaron Rodgers himself could walk away and retire. Scott, I ultimately think that will be the decision individually, personally, from Aaron Rodgers, of course, probably factoring in a lack of interest around the NFL and maybe with the Jets organization. But I think what you said there is very interesting. What was Aaron Glenn's answer in the interview? What did Darren Moogie, the new GM, have to say about Aaron Rodgers? And why exactly was it just I don't necessarily know at the introductory press conference? You don't want to alienate Aaron Rodgers probably in those conversations in public for the first time under new leadership. But clearly Woody Johnson has some thoughts on what he wants with the quarterback room and the future of his franchise. What was said in those interviews to get hired in these spots? I guess we shall see. I don't think it will take until the middle of March like it did the last time when he was leaving Green Bay and, of course, heading to New York for that trade and his preferred destination and out of the darkness. You would think, Scott, maybe in the next couple of weeks after the Super Bowl comes to a conclusion, we'll have an answer on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I would think so, right? I mean, by that time, teams got to realize that they're going to have to draft a quarterback. Free agency is starting. You're going to go get Russell Wilson. You're going to go get Justin Fields. You're going to go get Sam Darnold. You know, we know the quarterbacks that are out there. Danny Nichols is out there. You know, so there are a number of quarterbacks that aren't great, but, you know, would be better than what they had last year. Now, his numbers, you know, it's funny, Ben. His numbers were a lot like Russell Wilson's 2 years ago, you know, with the Denver Broncos, which we all considered a failure with Russell Wilson, right? I mean, the numbers aren't awful, but if you watched him play, you know, so many games down the stretch where all they needed was a field goal to win and he couldn't produce. The offense was, for the most part, bad, despite the numbers that looked better. I'd be surprised. Why would the Jets want to do that? It would be living another year in purgatory unless they just couldn't find another quarterback out there, and they're stuck with it. But I would think they would know by then, and same thing with Aaron Rodgers.
I would think new owner, or not new ownership, but new general manager, new front office, new head coach. You want to start fresh. A lot of young talent on the roster to try to take advantage of, because Scott, ultimately it did not work out. 5-12 a season ago, 14 consecutive years for the Jets, missing out on the postseason, the longest drought by far in the National Football League. In half of those 14 years, five wins or fewer in the regular season. So that's Aaron Glenn in New York. We talked Brian Schottenheimer in Dallas. Let's get to the other rookie head coach in a new situation, Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. Scott, late last week, it was a wild 48-hour span. Liam Cohen pulling himself out of the running for Jacksonville's head coaching job. The Jags fire Trent Baalke. Liam Cohen was going to re-sign with Tampa to become the offensive coordinator. He ghosted them, takes a secret interview in Jacksonville, ultimately becoming the next head coach of the Jaguars. Yesterday was introduced. I'm sure everybody has seen the clip around social media of him talking about the county in Florida that Jacksonville is located, Duval, in the weird way that he said it. But outside of that one clip, that of course there's always going to be one in the introductory press conference cycle, I thought he actually had a lot of substance to say in fixating Scott, making the focus of this franchise moving forward, the quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, a guy that Liam Cohen claims to know very well since his high school days in Georgia.
Yeah, what a weird situation, right? And I actually thought going in with Trevor Lawrence that this was one of the better situations, you know, nice, easy division, you know, great facility and an owner that wants to win, albeit going over to Europe a couple times, but you'll deal with that, right? So I thought on paper this was it. You know, they fired Doug Peterson, but they keep the GM, which we all thought was weird at the time. And now we get a bunch of head coaches that apparently, or at least head coaches in wanting that, said no, they don't want to go there because of Trent Baalke. I still say, Ben, there wasn't one guy out there that went to Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, and said, I'll work with him. Yeah, he's the greatest guy in the world. Absolutely. Love Trent Baalke. I wouldn't be interested in this job if it wasn't for Trent Baalke. Say whatever you have to say to get a head coaching job. I mean, there's only 32 of these things, right? No matter how bad of a situation you may think it might be, but sell your point on getting the head coaching job and then deal with Baalke later on down the line. But I guess not. And I guess they wanted Cohen so badly that they were then going to turn back the clock and fire the GM like they should have done 2 weeks ago when they fired Peterson. Right. But what a weird, you know, weird situation that really is.
It certainly is an interesting situation, Scott. And I think it speaks to Jacksonville, which should be an attractive destination for a new head coach, but didn't really seem to be early in this coaching cycle. If you are Liam Cohen and you do believe in Trevor Lawrence as the future of your franchise, you really have kind of handcrafted your scenario, though, in Jacksonville. You got the old GM fired, the owner is going to listen to you, and you have a quarterback to utilize moving forward. Is that going to be enough with the Jaguars? We'll discuss what Liam Cohen had to say about Trevor Lawrence. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, Liam Cohen, first-time head coach, now in Jacksonville, only 39 years old, and a rapid rise through the coaching ranks. And Scott, yesterday at his introductory press conference in Duval County, he talked about Trevor Lawrence kind of being the staple of the franchise, the building block that everything will be centralized around moving forward. And Liam Cohen, as recently as 2017, was the offensive coordinator at FCS Maine, and he was on a recruiting trip in Georgia to scout somebody on the opponent of Cartersville, a high school in Georgia, where Trevor Lawrence set many a state record and became a phenom almost instantly. And he was watching Trevor Lawrence play said team in Georgia. I believe he mentioned Buford High School, which is known there as well, and talked about his first glimpse of Trevor Lawrence in the moxie this guy played with, even as a high school student, delivering in football time and again. And so he believes that Trevor Lawrence is the answer in Jacksonville. It's about to be year number 5 in Lawrence's NFL career. And Scott, the jury is still out, I would say, in large part. There's been some high highs. There's been a lot of low lows as well. What do you think Liam Cohen will be able to unlock in Jacksonville in his first season?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, right? I mean, because we have seen the highs. You know, we've seen this team go in the second round of the postseason and really nearly win at Kansas City a couple of years ago. Then we've seen him regress back. This will be his third head coach when you count Urban Meyer, right? So is this really going to be the one? You know, I think it's going to be successful. I'm not the biggest Trevor Lawrence fan, never was. But, you know, I never bought into all the hype. Let's put it that way, of him being like the great. We had quotes from people saying, oh, he's the greatest quarterback prospect I've ever seen and this, that, what have you. I hope he wasn't trying to sell like he was going to recruit someone else and Trevor Lawrence caught his eye, because Trevor Lawrence was a big time recruit out of high school. It's not like he was, you know, from Topeka High and all of a sudden he rose to start. That's not the case with Trevor Lawrence. So, but I think they'll be successful. It's a pretty good roster. I'm more surprised that they weren't good than I would have been had they been good the last couple of years. I thought Doug Peterson kind of got a raw deal, but, you know, sometimes you just need to make a change, I suppose. So I think he'll have some success there. But, you know, again, 8 years ago, he's looking at high school kids, you know, in Topeka, Kansas, and here he is as the NFL guy. I'll harken back then to, I'd rather have the Brian Schottenheimers of the world, let him be in the NFL for 10, 15 years, pay his dues, yeah, and not just be a one-hit wonder with Baker Mayfield. But, you know, some of these guys turn out well. Other of these guys, you know, are 1-2 years and flash in the pans. We'll see. But at least he does have something to work with there in Jacksonville.
He certainly does. It could be an attractive spot, no doubt. Liam Cohen did also, right after leaving Maine in 2017, work for a couple of years in Los Angeles as an assistant under Sean McVay, went to Kentucky, went back to the Rams as the offensive coordinator, back to Kentucky this previous year with Tampa and the Bucs, of course. And Scott, when you look at this Jacksonville team, injuries plagued Trevor Lawrence this year, of course. It was a team that really struggled from the very start. But even when it seemed like the writing was on the wall with Doug Peterson, they were competitive in games down the stretch. I think they covered in 7 of their last 10, 8 of their last 11. There is a lot to like for the Jags moving forward. Win total of 8.5 entering 2024. We'll see what that number is, trying to provide a challenge in the AFC South to the Texans in 2025. The other introductory press conference yesterday in Las Vegas. Unlike the prior three we have already spoken about, not a rookie head coach, not a first-time head coach. Year number 19 in the National Football League as the head man, about to begin for the 73-year-old Pete Carroll. Introduced yesterday in Las Vegas alongside the Raiders' new general manager, John Spytek. And Scott, you can talk about what Pete Carroll is going to bring to Las Vegas, but of course it is a very familiar face and could be comforting for Raiders fans to know, hey, we've got this guy in here to at least try to provide a stable foundation. Do you think Pete Carroll will be able to have that success out in Sin City?
I don't think so. I like I said earlier, Ben, I thought he would have been perfect for Dallas. Win now team, 2-3 year window, get the most out of our players, Super Bowl experience like McCarthy. But, you know, that to me was the ideal spot. You know, you could sell Pete Carroll to the Dallas Cowboys. I think that would have been a guy that the Cowboy fan would have been excited about. Going to the Raiders, you don't have a running back. You don't have a wide receiver. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have a top 5 pick in the NFL draft. You're years away. And I've heard people say, well, brings the stability to the Raiders, right? You don't want stability in the NFL. You want to bottom out. The last thing you want to do is be 8-9 or 9-8. You're drafting 15th. You can't get yourself a quarterback. You're stuck in no man's land. So give me the, you know, take a risk on an offensive coordinator that, you know, like a Cohen, you know, or like a Ben Johnson, which I'm sure they made a run for. But give me the guy that's going to be here for the next 5, 6, 7 years that's really going to build, versus a guy that, you know, Pete doesn't want to be there 5, 6 years. He's 73, like you said, right? He wants to win now. So now he's going to take shortcuts to win. You know, are they going to bring in Sam Darnold? Because this, to me, has got Sam Darnold written all over it. You know, to me, it's like, I want to win now. So who's the best quarterback out there? It's probably Darnold that's going to be a free agent. And I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan, but I think this has got, out of all of them, I think to me, this is the worst one. And I think Pete Carroll was one of the best candidates for other teams.
Yeah.
But I just don't see how that's going to happen. And a division in which you got Kansas in that's not going anywhere, Chargers aren't going anywhere, and Denver, you're not really sure. Bo Nick's really going to, you know, progress to be a really, really good quarterback. I don't know. That's a tough division. You're not going to make hayway in that division in a year or two. So just it just doesn't make sense because, again, you don't want to be 9-8 in the NFL. You know, you want to go from the Redskins to the Redskins this year. You want to go, if possible, from Houston 2 years ago to Houston now.
Yeah, and that's really where the Raiders have been in the last 22 seasons since a Super Bowl appearance in 2002, just two years of a winning record, two playoff appearances. Do I believe Pete Carroll, even in how great he has been in various stops throughout the entirety of his football life, is going to bring the Raiders to the postseason in 2025? No, so it's not exactly building a program and a culture like Pete did or could do collegiately in the National Football League. When there's a new head coach, it's a completely different scenario. But he'll be chomping gum on the sidelines very, very soon. Some final thoughts around the NFL, some news and notes up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
I'm right here for a few more minutes on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So it's got four introductory head coaching press conferences yesterday. We've already seen two previously. Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson a week ago. Seven vacancies at some point in this NFL offseason, which means one more job to be filled. That's the New Orleans Saints, and they sure are taking their time. What does that mean? Could they be waiting on a coach who cannot be formally introduced just yet? Like a coordinator from one of the two teams playing in Super Bowl 59? A lot of speculation around Kellen Moore. Joe Brady, the Bills' offensive coordinator, took his name out of contention late last week, returning to Buffalo. Scott, New Orleans is taking a while. They'll host Super Bowl 59. The Saints hoping to see that level of success again soon. At this point, you really do have to wonder who the head coach is going to be, but more than likely also signs kind of pointing to Kellen Moore, it would seem.
Yeah, you would think, right? Again, as we talked about last week, I don't think guys really take their names out of the equation. Although with Cohen, it did turn out to be the case, actually. But I don't think they take their names out unless they realize, okay, I'm not getting the job. This way they save face a little bit. I'm not the biggest Kellen Moore fan. He just looks like he's 12 on the sidelines. But okay, you know, if that's the route you want to go, then so be it. But he's kind of got that clueless, like, okay, let me look at my play card and see what I'm supposed to be saying right now. But if that's the case, then that's the case. I'm surprised you can't, like, leak that out a little bit. Just, you know.
Yeah.
I understand you can't hire the guy. I get that. But you do wonder if he's the guy, you know, how much attention has he been paying to the New Orleans Saints versus, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles and now obviously going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So you do wonder about those things.
Yeah, you can't formally have an in-person interview with a coach that is still working throughout a postseason until that season comes to a conclusion. So this could be even further prolonged. Like, if it doesn't happen this week, then you know they really are waiting on Kellen Moore. Cliff Kingsbury mentioned he wanted to be an NFL head coach once more. His season with the Commanders has come to a close. We talked about Joe Brady taking his name out of the running. And Scott, we are 12 days away from Super Bowl Sunday and Super Bowl 59, a familiar matchup, a rematch of just two seasons ago between the Eagles and the Chiefs. And we got the ever-important jersey designations in the last 4 to 5 hours or so. The Eagles, being the home team, quote-unquote, got to make that first determination. They'll go with their midnight greens that they would normally wear in Philadelphia, which allows the Chiefs to use their white jerseys, which they did in a Super Bowl victory against the Eagles in Super Bowl 57. Scott, it might seem like the weirdest trend ever, and why would it continue year over year with different teams and in different scenarios? But 16 of the last 20 Super Bowl champions have worn a white uniform. So I guess it all goes to say the Chiefs are looking good for a three-peat once again.
Yeah, there you go. If you needed a reason to bet, why not that? It's just, you know what? It's as good as any other trend, right? So it is weird. You know, normally the home team is in white. You know, the road team is in, you know, the darker colors, in this case, you know, red or green. But how about just having both? I mean, who wants to look at white? Have the, you know, green and red are as good a, you know, opposite of each other as possible. A little Christmas, you know, Super Bowl here. Have Philadelphia be in green if they want, and have Kansas City, you know, wear their red uniforms. I would actually prefer that, to tell you the truth.
I wonder if Philadelphia could even make the designation of wearing the Kelly green uniforms that are just truly sensational. Of course, the throwbacks to the old jerseys the Eagles used to wear. The Chiefs wore white when they beat Philly in Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs wore red last year when they beat the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 58. Early, Scott, still minus 124 on the money line in favor of KC. Right side favored for Super Bowl 59 in your estimation?
I think so. You know, the public, you know, and this is a public game, right? So you can't really look a lot of times at this point spread and think, okay, this is what the wise guys are betting. You know, you got to realize who's betting who, right? And the whole world's betting Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not surprised they're a 1.5-point favorite. I was more surprised last week they were only a 1.5-point home favorite over Buffalo. So, but I do I like Kansas City in the game, and I like the over in the game.
And we'll see where the market starts to move in the next 12 days. A lot of movement at the very opening parts of that number, kind of getting that lull right now, and then maybe ramps up as we get later into Super Bowl week in New Orleans. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow on Sports Grid Radio at noon Eastern.